These days, news comes at you fast. But the truth? Getting there takes time.
There's something that hasn't been disclosed yet.
Embedded is a podcast that takes the time to look beyond the headlines.
How did this happen? How did we get here?
With original documentary storytelling. Listen to NPR's Embedded wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. The University of Southern California has canceled its main graduation ceremony amid ongoing anti-war protests. At George Washington University in Washington, D.C., dozens of students have set up tents on campus. And in Boston, police have arrested more than 100 people at an encampment at Emerson College. The White House is weighing in on the growing number of anti-war protests on college campuses. At Thursday's briefing, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre stressed the importance of free speech on all sides.
Protests must be peaceful. You know, students must be safe. When we see violent rhetoric, we have to call that out. When we see physical intimidation or grotesque anti-Semitic remarks, we have to speak that out.
Jean-Pierre says the White House will not comment on calls for the resignation of Columbia University's president, Manoush Shafiq. U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson was booed after making that suggestion while leading a delegation to Columbia on Wednesday. Conservative justices on the U.S. Supreme Court have signaled their support for the notion that Donald Trump is immune from prosecution for acts committed while he was president. NPR's Nina Totenberg has more on Thursday's high court hearing.
Five of the court's six conservative justices seem prepared at minimum to send the Trump election obstruction case back to the trial judge with instructions to determine which of the charges against him involve private acts for which he can be prosecuted. That would ensure that no trial would take place before the November election, and were Trump elected, he could order the Justice Department to dismiss the charges. The only conservative justice to express skepticism about the breadth of Trump's claim to immunity from prosecution was the last of his own appointees to the court, Justice Amy Coney Barrett. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
The European Union has approved a resolution which calls for more safeguards against Russian influence on its democracy. As Terry Schultz reports, the move comes amid allegations that some UK leaders have taken bribes in order to promote pro-Kremlin views.
In the last voting session of this EU Parliament's five-year mandate, lawmakers approved a lengthy resolution criticizing Russian efforts to interfere in the bloc's political processes ahead of Europe-wide elections that will choose a new legislature in June. Belgium, as the primary seat of the parliament, has already opened an investigation into allegations that some members have colluded with the Kremlin and accepted cash payments to, for example, give interviews praising Moscow and suggesting Ukraine should lose the war. The resolution calls for more security training for the more than 700 lawmakers who will be elected, and for their staffs, including background checks on anyone who will have access to sensitive information. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
You're listening to NPR News. Haiti's de facto leader Ariel Henry has resigned now that his nation has installed a transitional council. Henry's cabinet has chosen the economy and finance minister as interim premier. The new governing body will eventually hold elections and choose its own prime minister. The Tennessee legislature has voted to make it a crime to help a minor receive gender-affirming care without their parents' approval. The state house gave final approval for the measure and has sent it to Governor Bill Lee for signing. One of rock music's most influential keyboard players and vocalists has died. Moody Blues co-founder Michael Pinder was the last original member of the group. As NPR's John Stempin reports, Pinder was known for his mastery of the Mellotron, a finicky mid-century keyboard instrument voiced by an elaborate system of tape loops.
Before he joined the Moody's, Pinder actually worked at the Mellotron factory doing quality control. The experience enabled him to customize the instrument throughout his career. Those ethereal swells and swirls? That's Pinder on the Mellotron. Pinder would propel the keyboard to mid-century pop adoption by artists as diverse as the Beatles, yes, Bob Seger, and Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. In 1978, Pinder left the Moody Blues after clashing with bandmates. In the years that followed, he worked quietly for Atari and released some solo albums. Pinder was 82. John Stempin, NPR News.
U.S. futures are higher in after-hours trading. This is NPR.
Listen to this podcast sponsor-free on Amazon Music with a Prime membership or any podcast app by subscribing to NPR News Now Plus at plus.npr.org. That's plus.npr.org.